You may have heard the heckler in California on Monday calling President Obama the Antichrist. Jesus Christ is Lord. You are the Antichrist. The New York Daily News says the man, David Serrano, frequently interrupts public meetings, but that didn't stop Rush Limbaugh from hinting that he was actually a plant to discredit right-wing fundamentalists, one of the largest interest groups in the Republican Party, and that he was timed to coincide with an op-ed in last Sunday's New York Times about a resurgence in apocalyptic politics in America. Let's try to explain with historian Matthew Avery Sutton. He wrote that op-ed entitled Why the Antichrist Matters in Politics. He's associate professor of history at Washington State University. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
So your op-ed appears Monday that night. You talk about it on MSNBC, and about an hour later, the heckler pops up at an Obama appearance. Now, given his past public heckling, it seems unlikely that he would have allowed himself to be coerced by the left to be a plant and a plot against not just Obama, but Christians. But what do you think his outburst means?
You know, it's hard to say. I was putting my kids to bed Monday night, and all of a sudden I started getting a flood of emails from friends asking me if I had paid this guy to bring attention to my op-ed. but what it actually means, it's hard to say. I think what I tried to say in my op-ed is that there is a growing sense of kind of damnation and doom and the apocalypse in American culture. But then there's a very small fringe within that group that would go so far as to actually believe that the president is part of that. And so this guy, I think, represents the extreme fringe rather than the mainstream evangelical movement or fundamentalist movement.
But let's back up and explain that fringe has been there for a while. You write that some evangelical Christians believe the Antichrist will be a seemingly benevolent figure promising world peace. He'll burst on the world stage, form one world government ultimately. And then after the second coming, he will lose to Jesus in the Battle of Armageddon. And you say, you know, this thinking has driven an anti-big government movement, this idea of, you know, one world government, for 100 years.
Exactly. The scenario that you just laid out is prominent among American evangelicals, and it's been, you know, preached and taught by people from Amy Semple McPherson to Billy Graham to Jerry Falwell. But what most of the folks would say, and what I think most evangelicals would still say today, is that Obama and people like him are setting the stage for the rise of the Antichrist, but that's very different than actually saying he is the Antichrist, which is, of course, what this heckler accused him of being.
Well, even setting the stage, what would that mean? First of all, you say the world of 2012 resembles the world of, you know, a time of one of these movements, 1930s, in the eyes of people looking for an Antichrist. Why?
Yeah, that's what drove me into this project, was I tried to understand why conservative Christians were anti-statists, especially when I saw Rick Perry surging in the polls and Michelle Bachmann, and that drove me back to my research on the 1930s when there was this growing sense of anti-statism as conservative Christians were concerned that the United States was losing its sovereignty, it was becoming too closely engulfed with international issues, and at the same time, the U.S. government, the state, was growing in power, and so that kind of sparked an anti-statist movement in the 1930s that then has ebbed and flowed throughout the 20th century, but that I'm again seeing kind of resurging now.
And all you need to throw on that are false rumors that Obama wasn't born in the U.S. or that he's a Muslim, and, you know, that is oil on the flames. So you said not a lot of evangelicals believe he actually is the Antichrist, but some do. And do you think candidates are playing to this? We remember John McCain had the ad entitled The One. This was supposed to be mocking the way Obama supporters were treating him, you know, like the second coming of Christ even. But others saw the Antichrist in that. And we also pointed you, Matthew, to a new ad from Rick Perry. We'll have it on our website. It's beautiful production quality. First, you see a flurry of black and white images of desolate American streets, boarded up homes, with an apocalyptic soundtrack. Here's a portion.
President Zero.
One in six Americans are living in poverty.
That's one in six Americans.
At an all-time low.
46.2 million
people. We're pointed in the right direction.
Headed in the wrong direction.
Change direction.
And then suddenly the ad turns to color and horses gallop across the screen. There's a golden sunlight. Texas governor and presidential candidate Rick Perry saying a great country requires a better direction. Now, Perry, of course, an evangelical who has courted and won the backing of others. He held that controversial Christians Only prayer rally. What were your thoughts when you saw this?
Yeah, it's a fascinating ad. It's sort of Mad Max in the first half and then meets Pollyanna in the second half. And certainly I think Perry is playing into the apocalyptic sensibilities and the apocalyptic concerns, and certainly that's also being driven by the economy, that it's not just Obama. But then when the ad turns and Perry sort of emerges as the hero, at that point then he goes away from this Antichrist narrative because he positions himself as the savior, but of course it's the small government, return to individual liberties and, you know, local power sort of savior.
Well, you know, some people we know who've seen it say that it has a whiff of Leni Riefenstahl, you know, the Nazi propagandist. And it's interesting in that light because we had German journalists visiting us here yesterday, and they had been in Texas, and they were shown the ad by a very proud Rick Perry aide, and they told us they were somewhat appalled that this would never happen in Germany because it felt fascist to them. And Germany, of course, post the Nazis, has certain laws and sensibilities. But Matthew Sutton, I can hear someone hearing us talk saying, you know, you're the ones looking for something that's not there. Aren't all campaign ads as sinister as they can be?
Yeah, but what I think the candidates are doing, it's not that Rick Perry or others are intentionally tapping into these sorts of apocalyptic fears, although, I mean, they might be, but for me it's unlikely. What I think is going on is they're speaking a language, though, that resonates with a larger tradition that has these apocalyptic fears. And so when Rick Perry speaks about the problems in government, when he speaks about Social Security, all of these kinds of things tap into a long, deep mainstream evangelical tradition that fears the growth of the state, that sees the state as an adversary rather than as an ally.
But a couple quick questions. First of all, we respect everyone's right to believe whatever they want. But it was curious, if the Antichrist is the harbinger of the second coming of Christ, why would he be so feared and fought? Because it would seem that lays out this, you know, beautiful rapture at the end.
Right.
So that's one. And then two, what does it matter if someone believes that Barack Obama either is the Antichrist or is setting the stage for him? What does it matter if someone believes that?
Sure. The first question, you know, addresses this paradox, which evangelicals have had to deal with really since the 1910s and 20s. And the nice thing for me as an academic is every generation has explained this. They've all said, we believe Christ may come at any moment, but we're going to live as if he's not going to come for 100 years. And that's actually their language.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the second question about what does it matter, I agree with you. I'm not too concerned about what people do or don't believe. For me, it's more a matter of just understanding how we can have such hostility to the government rather than hostility towards certain policies. All of that grows out of a deeper religious sensibility, and it's that deeper religious sensibility that I'm trying to make sense of.
Matthew Avery Sutton, Associate Professor of History at Washington State University. We'll link you to his op-ed in The Times. And remind you, he's also author of Amy Semple McPherson and The Resurrection of Christian America. Matthew, fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.